so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
If you would, go with me in the Word of God to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading this morning from the English Standard Version. I just like the way that it read, and so I want to use it this morning. I want to talk to you today about 2020 vision. This is part 3. And I want to talk to you about nearsighted vision. And here's what it says. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, did you hear that? If these are yours and keep increasing, they keep you from being ineffective, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Father, bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. And then, of course, our series text has been Proverbs 29:18, when it says there, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 29:18. And so we've been talking about vision, and Pastor Justin talked about last Sunday about what God sees. Now let me talk to you about nearsighted vision. I got a little echo up here, guys, if you'll bring me down or something. I'm not sure what's going on. But vision is the bridge between the present and the future. Without it, we perish, or we go unrestrained, as the Bible says. Vision gives pain purpose. And vision gives you a reason why to go through what you're presently going through. Vision, especially of your future, will make you make decisions now that will affect what you see in your future. So those without vision spend their time taking the path of least resistance. And as they try to avoid all the discomforts of life. I don't know anybody who enjoys being discomforted. I don't know anybody who enjoys trouble and trials. Now, I know a few people who like drama and trauma, but they are not real smart. Yeah, come on, somebody. I understand that it is a part of life. But if we will understand what separates the great from the small, it is sacrifice. Sacrifice separates the great or the small from the great. And sacrifice is meaning that I will give up something now for a greater reward in my future. That is vision. If I eat right now, then that means that I won't have maybe the physical limitations and diseases that come along with not eating right. If I will save now or do what needs to be done in my financial realm, then that means that I won't be broke come the end of the week because I didn't use my money wisely. Is anybody hearing what I'm talking about this morning? See, there was a young man who had just graduated from high school and joins the military. And as soon as he steps off the camp bus, the boot camp bus, the sergeant starts yelling at him. I'm bringing back some traumatic thoughts for some of you, because some of you were in the military. And they begin to bark orders at him and yelling at him. And so they march him over to the barber shop. He gets his head shaved. Then he is up early the next morning exercising with someone screaming at him and talking about his mama. Am I talking to anybody? Now, he would have never put up with this, with any of this nonsense from his teachers. Maybe we might could do a little bit better in school if we would just let them do some of that. But no, we want to cuddle them, but I coddle them. And I let me get on beside that before I start messing with people. But he would never put up with this from his teachers. But somehow, now that he is in the military, his whole mindset changes. And that's where we as Christians need to understand that there's got to be a shift in our mindset. Because now he is, if you will, enduring the cross, so to speak, because the joy of the other side of what he's going through. He realizes that boot camp is preparing him for a greater destiny. He knows that unless I go through the boot camp, I cannot join the ranks of the military. Unless I endure what I'm presently in, then I will not be able to enjoy putting on my dress blues and looking the part. I could, if I don't endure what it is. But the problem with so many of us is we can't see beyond the right now. And that's where we become nearsighted. You see, his vision of the future is giving his present physical discomfort meaning and purpose. And what the devil wants to do to you and me is to keep us to having clear vision so that we see that where I am, help me somebody, is not where I'm always going to be. What the devil don't want you to realize is that where I am is not my lot in life. Where I am is just where I am. It may last for a week. It may last for an hour. It may last for a year. But here's what I know, that if I keep my eyes on Jesus, that he knows my future and he's pulling me through some things to get me to a destination where he wants me to be. So many of us go through life not understanding the purpose of our trials. And we spend our days walking crooked paths, believing that every obstacle in the road is a problem to be avoided. But not every obstacle in the road is a problem to be avoided. But if you could see past the problem, you would understand that what God's about to do in me right where I am is going to help me out when I get on the other side. Can I tell you that some marriages struggle because either one or both of the participants of that marriage are childish? I like what one young man said. He didn't call it childish. He called it churlish. They're just churlish. They're just childish. 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 Dish. I put the L in there. But the second part of Proverbs says, happy is he who keeps the law. The law isn't just something that God gave Moses. It is also the restraint, the boundaries, the disciplines, and we develop around our life to direct us through obstacles instead of around them. Without boundaries, you wouldn't show up at work on time. Without boundaries, you wouldn't work. Well, what keeps you working? The promise of a paycheck on Friday or whenever you get paid. How many of us would go to work in the morning if you knew you wasn't going to get paid for what you do? Most people would not show up. Now, I'm not talking about if you're retired. I know what you do. As a, you work in ministry. Come on, somebody. That's right. But if you knew that you wasn't going to get a paycheck, would you show up on the job? Would you let your boss talk to you the way he talks to you? Would you take any of that junk from them? No, you wouldn't. But because of the reward on the other side, because you're not being far, nearsighted, you're being farsighted, which I'll talk about next week. You're not looking at right now. You're looking at what's coming down the path in the next week. And when I was a young boy, remember, I was raised very poor. And when I got my first job, this is the way that I dealt with the hours. When I was working, I thought, okay, I just paid for my gas to get here. I was stocking shelves. All right, the second hour, now I got, this was back when movies, you could go to the movies for $2 or $3 because minimum wage was $3.35. And so I would say, now I can go to the movies. The next hour, now I can take a girl to the movies. Come on, somebody. Now I can get her some popcorn. Come on. And I just begin to go on down the list. Now I can take her out to eat if I really like her. Come on, somebody. Now I've got some money to put in my pocket. Now I can buy me some new shoes. Now I can buy me some new pants. Now I can buy me some new clothes. Now I can pay taxes. That never crossed my mind. Come on, but you learn real quickly, don't you? Amen. The first paycheck my youngest daughter got, she said, Daddy, they robbed me. I said, welcome to the government, baby. But here's the reality, man, is you got to look beyond where you are. These obstacles become baptisms of fire that forge our character so that we can attain and maintain a life of greatness. How many want a life of greatness? Pastor, I don't want to be all. No, you might not want to be all that. But everybody in this room, you need to want a life of significance. You don't want to just be a blip on the radar. I want to be a life of significance so that when I die, people will say, the world is better because Ronnie Reed was in it. Somebody hear me. So, but the question you got to ask, point number one, what is vision? Well, that's a good question. Vision is what we see, but it is also the way we see it. Vision is what we see. Helen Keller, she said, what's worse than being blind is having sight without vision. So many of us have sight, but we have no vision. And where the devil wants to keep you is having your sight on what you're going through, not what you're going to. Oh, I believe I'll say that again. He wants you to keep your eyes on what you're going through and not what you're going to. When you're going through trouble in your marriage, begin to see a vision of I'm going to a better place in my marriage. I don't like where I'm at right now, but if we work on it, if we do the work, we can get to the place where our marriage will be better, our life will be better. You've got to understand this. Vision is the lens that interprets the events of our life, the way we view people, and our concept of God. And the devil wants you to keep your concept of God as a very limited view that where you are, God led you here and God left you there. But I've come by to tell somebody that God might have led you there, but He didn't leave you there. He knows what it's going to take to get you over that obstacle if you will just keep looking to God, the author and the finisher of your faith. If we have a scratch on our glasses, those of us who wear glasses, it seems like everybody around us has scratches. But the problem lies with us because our vision is impaired. If you look at life as a big problem, then all you do is see problems all around you. But man, if you begin to see it as opportunity, opportunities to grow, opportunities to develop. The only reason that you have character is because of the problems that you've endured, because of the problems that you've overcome. Come on, somebody, talk to me. Jesus said that our eyes are the windows of our heart. Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. In other words, we perceive with our eyes, but we see with our hearts. I'm going to say that again. We perceive with our eyes, but we see with our hearts. Our mind receives images from our eyes, but our heart interprets these images. You know, if you think that everybody's always talking about you, if you go to a football game and they get in a huddle, you think they're talking about you. No, they're talking about the plan, how to advance the ball. But you think they're, because your heart is hurt, and so everything is viewed through an obscure image, an obscure lens. Our minds receive from our eyes, but our heart interprets it. If our heart becomes bitter, jealous, hurt, or in some way infected, the lens of our heart is distorted, and the way you view the life, the way you view people is distorted because of the scratches on your lens. I want to admonish you today that somehow, some way, come unto God and ask Him, Lord, clean my lens, clean my heart, clean my vision, so that I'm not just nearsighted, but I have 20/20 vision. See, what we perceive is happening and what is really going on could be two completely different things. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. The word truth used here is not referring to the Bible itself, although all truth is rooted in the Bible. But here the word truth means reality. Jesus is saying, you will understand what is real, and that will free you. Because so many of us live in a virtual reality. The way we view life can feel and look real or make perfect sense, but still not be real at all. Don't point at nobody, but have you ever talked with people who live in a virtual reality but not real reality? I mean, they are just, you're like, what planet do you live on? I talk to Christians like that all the time. Because if we're not careful, we won't view life and God through the lens of His Word. We will view life and the Bible through the lens of mama, who was crazy, or daddy. You know, here's what I get. Well, where do you get your worldview from? Where do you get your view? Oh, from my alcoholic daddy. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I get it from my bipolar mom, and I'm not downplaying bipolarism. I understand that's a real thing. But what I'm saying is we take these obscured views and these blurred views and make them our views. There's some things that my daddy told me that when I got to reading the Bible for myself, then I thought, that is not really what the Bible said. And my dad was a preacher. Come on now. Have you ever watched a good movie and gotten totally into it that you experience emotions in a real way? Yeah, Hallmark. I experienced emotions in a real way. Oh, Jesus, God. Oh. Have you ever watched a movie that made you cry? Remember, those of you sports fans, remember Rudy? Rudy. Man, I got up. I remember the first time I watched Rocky IV. I was standing up in the theater. You go, boy. I was helping him fight. But the reality is you felt these emotions, but it wasn't real. It was just a movie. But they evoked real emotion. So you may leave the theater still feeling that like the movie. But it was just a movie. It was never real. How many went to see the, I ain't talking about the second, I'm talking about the first edition of Footloose. Come on, with Kevin Bacon. Come on, somebody. The first edition of Footloose. I left there dancing my fool head off. Right? Because it evoked emotion. The truth is, we see what we believe to be true. Man, I don't have that door. I need that. We truly see, or the truth is we see what we believe to to be true. If you see a magic trick, even though they said it's a magic trick, you think it's real magic. No, it is a sleight of hand. It is an illusion. Another way to put it is if you have the wrong pretext, you will misunderstand the context. If you have the wrong pretext, you will misunderstand the context. Having a revelation of what is real will deliver us from a life of torment and virtual reality often caused by farsightedness. The devil says you're never going to get out of this. And if you believe that, that's what your belief is. But the Word of God tells us, I look through the lens of God's Word, and I know that there's not a lock that the devil has made that my God doesn't hold a key to it and knows how to walk me out. If I'm in hell itself, God knows where I'm at, and He knows how to bring me out. So what we might need to look at is, what are your core values? And most people don't even know what their core values are. The things we believe to be true determine the way in which we interpret life. These things are called core values. Matter of fact, let me just go back to Rudy. I love this line of Rudy. Rudy asked the priest about God. And here's what the priest said. I love this line. He said, I've been a priest for how many ever years, he said? He said, but these two things I know are true. And I said, yes, sir, I believe that too. He said, I know without a shadow of a doubt that there is a God. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am not Him. Well, that's some truth right there. You've got to realize you are not God, but there is a God. You are not Him, but there is a God. Here's what I do know. These are a core view. This is a core belief of mine. And if you're a believer, it ought to be one of your core beliefs. And that is this. I don't know when, and I don't know where, and I'm not even quite sure how, but I know that Jesus is coming back. I know that one day, I know that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And I'm going to do my best to make heaven my home. Core values are the lens or the eyes of our heart. What are your core values? It's important for us to realize the incongruency between what our core values presently are and what we really want them to be. Because some of us quote the Bible but don't believe the Bible. Why? Because we really only do the scriptures we truly believe. I could just drop the mic and walk off right now. How do you know? Well, if you truly believe that if you don't forgive your enemy, that God won't forgive you, there'd be a whole lot of forgiving going on. Now listen to me. Let me just hit this. I feel like I need to. Well, Pastor, I just don't trust him anymore. God didn't say you had to trust him. But forgive him. Unforgiveness is like you drinking poison hoping they're going to get sick. You can't. It don't work that way. You're drinking the poison, you're getting sick. Well, Pastor, they don't deserve my forgiveness. I didn't say they deserve it. You deserve it. I refuse to let somebody who hurt me keep me in a prison of my mind. If they've already hurt me once, why would I let them continually hurt me? Because I'm going to forgive them, release them, and I'm not going to lose sleep over them. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because you need to hear this. Easier said than done. Pastor, how do you know? Been there, bought the t-shirt, spent quite a bit of time running around that mountain. We got to understand this. It is not the truths that we believe in our head that are our core values, but rather the ones we believe in our heart. That's why we need core beliefs, man. What are your core beliefs? I mean, what are you willing to walk the plank on? What are you willing to stand on the hill for? What are you willing to do? See, when your core beliefs are not based on truth, then you begin to believe whatever you feel. And what you feel is not always truth, because it is a feeling. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to God who lives within us. Number three, what is farsightedness in Christianese? In Christianese, that's a language. That's a language of Christians. The regular world don't know it, just Christians know it. Every Christian in here, if you've been saved 5-10 years, if I say, we need to have some fellowship. Everybody knows that means go eat. I'm teaching you some Christian knees right now. That means let's go eat. How about this one? I'm going to tell you this because I love you. You're about to get told off. He just wants me. Nicholas just wants me back. That's what happened. He's crying because he wants me. It ain't his past. He wants me. That's my core belief. That's Christianese, right? That's Christianese. You know, when we say, oh, bless you. I mean, depending on how you say it, it could mean all kinds of things. Bless you. Could mean really bless you. But then you could go, bless you. Means you're stupid. And you're ignorant. Bless its heart. If you're Southern, bless your heart. And as long as you say bless your heart, you can say whatever you want to say in the South. Boy, that's an ugly baby. Bless its heart. I'm not talking about Nathan or Nicholas either. So you understand, but that's what we do, right? So what did the nearsighted porcupine say when it backed into the cactus? Sorry, honey. If you are nearsighted, here's what it means. If you're nearsighted, you see objects that are near, but distance objects are blurry and unclear. Now think about that. If you're nearsighted, you see objects that are near. You see the right now. You see what I'm going through, but the objects far away are blurry and unclear. And so the devil doesn't want you to see what's on the other side of the trouble. He just wants you to see trouble. Listen, we ain't taking up another offering, but he doesn't want you to see the tithe or the rewards of the tithe and the offering. He just wants you to see the right now. You want me to give what? I don't think so. Right? Which we have many that do. But I'm just trying to get you to understand. To put it simply, you are equipped to see trees, but not forests. Well, we don't even have a forest. Well, what do you call all these trees? Trees? Well, we're not equipped. No, you are not equipped to do it if you're farsighted. Some people are nearsighted in their mentality. Rather than think about the long term, they think about short term or even perhaps medium term. We tend to view long-term thinkers as wise and mature, while we view short-time or short-term thinkers as immature and impulsive. And that could be some truth to that. But see, here's the deal. Many immature Christians, many Christians who are farsighted, they look for quick fixes and easy solutions. And that's why, you know, Pentecostals are some of the world's worst. Because Pentecostals, we want to come and somebody lay hands on us and poof the magic dragon, you're fixed. You're cured. We bring our kids. Pastor, pray for my kid. We bring our spouses. Lord, Pastor, pray for them. Yep, that's what they need is just a good Holy Ghost dose. A dose of the ghost. Holy Ghost. I mean, really, you know what I'm talking about. Don't point at nobody, but how many know what I'm talking about? Lord, Pastor, if that's what they need, they just need a prayer. No, they probably need prayer, but they probably need some teaching. They need to walk through some things. It is good not to worry about tomorrow, but that is not the same as saying not to plan. Well, I'm not worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. That's what the Bible says. But it also says the plan. Underlying many of life's issues and problems are, of course, spiritual issues. But spiritual growth should be our focus, man. I want to be better. I want to be spiritually further along than I am today, tomorrow. Because spiritual, or the lack of spiritual growth, has significant long-term consequences. Nearsighted, myopia is what it's called, is a common vision. Now listen, I looked up the definition and went, and it took me to a site that talked about nearsighted. Let me just tell you, man, I about have myself a time. It is a common condition by which you can see objects near you clearly, but objects further away are blurry. Man, if I just knew that God was going to get me through this. If I just knew that there was victory on the other side. If I just knew that this wasn't going to last forever. Your view is blurry. It occurs, I love this, here's the technical. It occurs when the shape of your eye causes light rays to bend incorrectly. How many of us think ways and we're bent incorrectly? You talk to people about spiritual matters and they're bent so crooked, looking like a snake. This happens when you always see God doing something in other people, but never expose or allow yourself to be completely taken over by His Spirit. But God doesn't do that to me. He just does it to them. He wants to. Nearsighted may develop gradually or rapidly, often worsening at adolescence. Your children tend to do what you do, because here's something else it says. Nearsightedness tends to run in families. And as I see Christians, you see Christians that can't see the future, that can't see the promise beyond that, then that's where they raise their child. And then if something happens, everything is, oh, everybody's nervous. But that's not what God called us to do. Your children tend to do what they see you do. And they put the importance on the things that you tend to put importance on. Good preaching, Pastor. Not what you say, but what they see you do. Nearsighted symptoms. I got three more and I'm gonna be done. Nearsighted symptoms. Come on back. Nearsighted symptoms include blurry vision when looking at distant objects. Now you heard me, man. I've been talking about it for long. It doesn't mean that you can't see it. You just can't see it correctly. I know what I'm. I don't know if I'm nearsighted or farsighted, because before I got contacts and glasses, I just couldn't see. Period. I don't care how close you got it to me. Can you see it now? Nope. Can you see it now? Nope. Can you see it now? Nope. That's no sight. It's also called blind. But anyway, that's exactly what the devil wants to do to you, is blur your vision and make you think that you will never get through what you're going through. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For we see in a mirror darkly." See, he wants you not to be able to see that there's a brighter day ahead of you. He wants you not to be able to see that. All you see is where you are. But I come by to tell somebody. He doesn't want you to know that if you endure for a little while, joy is coming. He doesn't want you to know that you may mourn for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Put your spiritual glasses on and see that your future is bright, that your harvest is just around the corner. Here's another symptom of farsightedness. The need to squint or partially close the eyelids to see clearly. The enemy wants you to close your eyes to what's coming down your path. He wants you to close. Remember, your path will lead you to the destination, good or bad. And I'm going to tell you, I almost had a Holy Ghost fit when I read this last one. Here's what he said. Here's what it says. Nearsightedness, difficulty seeing while driving a vehicle, especially at night. See, now when I think about night, I think about when you can't see Jesus. When I think about at night is when you're going through trouble. When I think about night is when it's dark around you. And you don't know how to, when it's dark, you're just trying to feel your way through. When it's dark and you can't see light, you're trying to feel your way through. How many understand that feeling your way through, you might touch something that will hurt you? Because you don't see what you're about to touch. I remember when I was a kid, our church was a shotgun church, and you walked through the back door past the stage, and it leads you down a little corridor down into another little area. And there was a landing platform, and as I walked down that platform, I almost grabbed the railing, but I just for a moment caught something was there. And as I looked, it was a snake. And I told my dad, I thought we didn't handle snakes. What are you doing with snakes in the sanctuary? It just had got in. Matter of fact, come to find out it was poisonous. If I would have felt my way, I could have been bitten. Could have lost a hand, lost a life. Some of you are trying to feel your way through life. And your feelings are deceitful. The feeling of, well, I just want to be happy. I just want relief right now. In the dark times of your life, the enemy and those without proper vision struggle to make it through their night. Would you just look at somebody and say, I'm praying that you're going to make it through your night. I want you to see your way through your night. But we know what they do for farsightedness. They give you corrective lenses. Back when I was 29, or back when I was 31, I had LASIK surgery done on my eyes where they corrected them. For another $400, I could have got a lifetime warranty. That's a true story. But I didn't get the warranty. So now I have contacts. And now because of my age, I put on readers so that I can read things up close easier. Well, Pastor, what do I do as a Christian? You allow the Word of God. You allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to correct your vision. Now, I say the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the letter killeth, but the Spirit give life. So that's why you need the Word and the Spirit. And the Spirit will not go against the Word, and the Word will not go against the Spirit. They will complement one another, not go against them. Would you stand to your feet in this place? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, man, that's the first thing you need to do to start correcting your vision.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.